Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women.
That's a jam.
Yeah, it is.
Staring.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go with it.
That's a jam, right?
I'll go with it. Okay. They had better, but it's still a jam.
Totally a jam.
Yeah, it's a jam.
And don't worry. We're going to do, because Ketz comes to me today in the newsroom, and he goes, I was kind of thinking about the Eagles for Artist of the Day. I looked up from my desk. I go, okay. No problem.
I feel like that's something that would have already been done.
Oh, it's been done.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean... Oh, we're recycling now.
Gotcha.
I mean, we've gone through every... Dude, we had Richard Marx as the artist of the day the other week.
It was so good, too.
I agree.
You know when you've completely run out of ideas when Richard Marx is your artist of the day.
You could still do Jerry Reed, which you rejected last time
I brought it up. We're going to do it at some point.
Yes.
But the Eagles are such a super band, like huge, big. We're doing two Eagles songs an hour because Jason and I could not decide which songs should lead the hour.
Because it's hard to whittle it down to four.
It's very hard.
Yeah. Super hard. So we're going to do eight Eagles songs, all jams. So the other ones that you think are bigger jams than that one will definitely get in.
Awesome.
Hollow is your keyword to cash. Hollow, H-O-L-L-O-W, Hollow. Text that into 72881, and you are in the running for $1,000 with the keyword to cash. Message and data rates may apply. Good to have you back in the seat, man. What's up?
Thank you. It's good to be here.
How long are you with us?
To be determined. That all depends on how things shake out around here.
Call that TBD.
Yeah, exactly.
Not sure if you knew this, but the old Dana and Parks program's going through a bit of a revitalization and change.
He's a TBD on KNBC. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
We are thrilled that you're here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to have you with us, man.
It's good to be here.
Dana says, my head will explode when I get...
Yeah.
I haven't found him yet.
Every once in a while, I find something, and I think, I'm not going to say anything to Scott about this, because I want to see his reaction in kind of an organic way when he reads what he's about to see that I printed twice.
Oh. Is this one of them?
Oh, I think we're going to talk about this.
Is this one?
2 and 5, and that is rare that we do that, but it...
Is this the one?
Is a whopper.
Son of a...
And so many parents right now are going through this with their kids. And if your son or daughter has taken the ACT or
no.
the SAT, or if they're getting ready to take the ACT or the SAT, I cannot wait for you to hear about this.
Hang on. Well, it says it's... I didn't see this. It says it's in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Where was that in the Wall Street Journal?
They hit the high points.
I must have missed that one.
KCTV5 posted it today, and they hit the high points, Scott Parks.
I was trying to read through my whole paper today. The air conditioning at our house went out last night. So I was at the house today reading the paper while the AC guy was fixing the place up.
You stayed?
Where am I going to go?
A hotel?
Well, no, the AC went out at 9 o'clock last night. We were fine.
Oh, so it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we got through the night, but maybe it's in tomorrow's paper or something, but let me see if I can find the long form here.
You don't need the long form.
I know.
Short form is just fine.
Yeah, it's not in the paper. okay. The story, this one comes from CNN, and the headline is this. SAT will assign a new score. that factors in where you live and how much your parents make.
Yep.
Let me read from the story here, and they cite CNN does the Wall Street Journal. The nonprofit group that administers the SAT will assign an adversity score to each student who takes the test to reflect social and economic backgrounds. The move comes amid heightened scrutiny that colleges are facing over the admissions process and the diversity of their student bodies. Quoting here from David Coleman, chief executive officer of the College Board, who spoke to the Journal, quote, "There are a number of amazing students who have scored less on the SAT, but have accomplished more. We can't sit on our hands and ignore the disparities of wealth reflected in the SAT. The number will be calculated using 15 factors. The Journal reported, including the crime rate and poverty levels of a student's high school and their neighborhood. Colleges will be able to see the number when considering applicants, but students themselves will not be told. According to the Journal, 50 colleges used the adversity scale in a beta test last year, and the College Board plans to expand the program to 150 institutions this fall. A score of 50 would be considered average, while a number above 50 would indicate hardship. A number below 50 would indicate privilege."
Mm-hmm.
The news comes against the backdrop of a bombshell college admission scandal. We all know about that.
Now, let's just discuss this.
Go ahead. I'm listening. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I am not necessarily opposed to this.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
Here's what I want to know. They are going to give your child a score based on publicly available data.
Okay.
What does that mean?
They're going to give child a score based on publicly available data?
They don't have access through the SAT system, to my knowledge, to your tax returns.
No.
So how do they know, based on publicly available data, what your mom and dad do for a living, make for a living, you know, with the exception of someone who is, you know, let's say the daughter or son of, I don't know, name your super famous politician or actor. How do they really know what you make?
They don't.
The crime analysis statistic is interesting to me.
Why?
Because, Scott,
so you should get an inflated SAT score because more crime occurs in your neighborhood?
That's kind of where I'm stuck with crime. Because if you are from the city of Topeka, okay, you are coming from...
They didn't say city, Dana. They said neighborhood. They're going to break it down to neighborhood.
But if you are living in Topeka, Kansas, let me just use Topeka as an example, okay?
Okay.
You statistically live in one of the highest crime rate cities in the country, but you don't necessarily live in one of the highest crime neighborhoods. Topeka is a really good example because it's just small enough that it's easy to break it down, okay?
Okay.
I think that this could work, but I think there are some cities and neighborhoods where you might get a number that is not accurate.
Let me give you an example.
Oh, Lane, I can think of three, but go ahead.
What city do I live in?
Roland Park.
Roland Park, Kansas.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to get into too much personal corporate information, but I will say this. I am 47 years old. I do live in a van down by the river.
Yes.
The median income for a male that lives in Roland Park is $40,000. I will say this, not bragging, I make a little more than $40,000. My children, when they take the SAT,
right,
would get an in... Let me restate this. My children would get an unfair advantage on their SAT scores because it would have to be weighted for the income of a male in Roland Park who on average makes $40,504 a year.
Right.
I do make, and I'm not going to tell you what I make, but I do make more than that.
Okay, so let's take then.
So my children would be weighted on yes. that $40,000.
Let's take the state of California and then bring it in to either the city of San Francisco or Los Angeles, okay? My aunt and uncle have lived in Los Angeles for 40 years. Scott, she is a waitress. He works for Fox Studios. They, I believe, have a 1.5 bedroom.
Is that a one bedroom house with a large closet?
Two children and two adults.
Okay.
There is a neighborhood not far from them where there are bajillion dollar homes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm stuck with crime rate and publicly available data. If you live in a community where there is a massive amount of disparity, like a Los Angeles, how are they going to figure this out?
From the text line, Scott is overpaid. Dana, and this is a great point, rich people will just rent apartments in the ghetto.
Ugh, no, they will not. That's ridiculous.
Why not?
Because that is way too conspiratorial to think that somebody's going to do that. You know, if you get caught saying you live in Missouri, but you really live in Kansas just for the benefit of in-state tuition, you get in trouble for that. They want to know where you lay head at night.
Why are we weighting people on their SAT scores based on where they live and what their parents make? That you're basically saying, oh, I'm sorry, your parents didn't make it. They may have tried really hard, but for whatever reason, they didn't make it. So we're going to inflate your score to hopefully help you make it. Or your parents did, for whatever reason, make a lot of money in their life. You are going to be punished for that, and we're going to lower your score. We're going to try to make it more equal,
right,
that the have-nots get the have, and the haves get the have-not. We're going to punish you because your parents are rich.
But don't you agree, Scott? And you still have to get a good score, unless you're paying.
Apparently not. If you're poor and live in a crime-ridden neighborhood, you could score a 2.
No, that is absolutely not true. Don't you think, for the most part, if you live in an incredibly affluent area like Beverly Hills, that most of life's challenges have been mowed down out of your way? Most, not all.
And so you should be punished because you were born lucky?
But when you look at the scale of balance in America, if someone else has the exact same score and clawed and scratched their way out from
what's
nothing.
What's to say that I didn't claw and scratch even though my parents were rich?
You want me to believe you clawed and scratched from Rodeo Drive into college?
No, but to study and educate myself. No, I didn't have to go to the school of hard knocks after I got out of my real school every day. No, I didn't. But I should be punished because I was born into a wealthy family, or I should get privilege?
You're looking at it the wrong way.
I don't think so. We'll talk about it on the other side. 576-7798. 576-7798. Jason Katz, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Through the rain and lightning,
Kid Rock.
Wandering out into this great unknown.
You ever play this guy again, I will come in there. I will beat you down. I will beat you down to Chinatown. I swear to God. Ugh. Ugh. I mean, let's play Nickelback, because I actually like Nickelback. Let's go to Kia in Raytown. Kia, hello.
Hey.
Hi.
So I feel Topeka, Kansas was a really great example for this story, just in the fact that my husband and I moved with our family to Topeka. We had the only thing we knew about Topeka when we moved was Westboro Baptist Church. We decided to move downtown, or fairly close to downtown, just because his job was close. And it wasn't any more than maybe 2-3 months after the fact, that is when we started hearing gunfire and really understanding what being downtown Topeka meant. Our children had never been in any type of situation like that before. One of them actually did run away. The other one threatened to run away and go back to the city that we came from, etc. And their grades did go down. They were distracted, etc. As soon as our lease was up, we hightailed it out, bought a house on the west side of Topeka. Our kids went to the Washburn School District, and immediately there was a complete 360, no more issues with the kids. So it really does affect the psychological aspect of your children when they have things happening like that. But I guess my thing is, if this is what they want to use to determine the SATs, well, in that case, there is no school that you can go to, because now my kids' fear is school shootings. They're looking around to try to see how secure things are. So we are basically raising the first PTSD generation. And I don't think it doesn't matter how much money you have with that. Shootings can happen anywhere. Now it's a roll of dice.
Yeah, Kia, thank you for the call. No one is angrier about the school shooting situation and scenario than I am. But we can't go down that road right now when we're talking about scores. Someone writes in, Scott, look at the disparities in SAT tests and you will get your answer. Okay. Look up the disparities. Here's a question I have for all of our listeners. And I want you to explain this when we come back.
Okay. I'll gladly do it.
The white scores are high. Okay. The minority scores are lower across the board.
Except
the scores of Asian Americans are the highest. I don't know that poverty has anything to do with that.
Nope. It does not.
So
and I'll be happy to explain it when we get
back. At Asian Americans' test scores, how come poverty doesn't factor into that? Because they beat everyone else in every category across the board, regardless of their income situation.
576-7798, Newsroom will start. That's a jam, we'll start.
You couldn't do this all day. I mean, I'm good if you are, but.
Yes, I am.
That is indeed a jam.
So funny. All right, so we're reading this story. The Wall Street Journal is reporting today that the company that administers the SAT test is going to start factoring into your grade or your total points or whatever, where you come from, the neighborhood in which you live, your parents' income. Here's where I think this is wrong, okay? Being rich, and I'll get into your Asian students' question in just a moment.
Please.
Being rich does not make you a good parent. Being poor does not make you a bad one. And I think this plays into a stereotype, Dana, if I may, that says if you're rich and you live in Leawood or you live in Mission Hills or South Overland Park, you must be the greatest June and Ward Cleaver known to man. But if you live at 33rd and the Paseo or 35th and College, you have to be a bad parent because you are poor. You live in the inner city. Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, lives in the inner city. He is one of the most successful people in this country. I don't agree with his politics, but he's running for president. Something good happened there. Just because you're rich, just because you have a J-O in the left corner of your license plate, does not make you a good parent. And just because you live over there in a small $30,000 house in the inner city does not make you a bad one at all. Just because your skin is white does not make you a good parent. And just because your skin is black, it certainly doesn't mean you're a bad one.
But if you're coming from... Here's... And this is in my limited experience coming from Topeka. In a school district at the time that did an incredibly poor job of helping seniors navigate college. Incredibly poor job. I've always said that. And I've got a girlfriend who graduated a year behind me, and she's ticked off to this day that we didn't have better guidance when it came to the opportunities that would have been available to us. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. And I'm not saying I'm sad or disappointed that I ended up where I ended up. I'm thrilled that I ended up where I ended up. But I wish someone would have just said to me, Scott, you know, there are 1,000 schools you can apply to, and you're probably going to get into about 65% of them based on your experience, okay? Your ACT score, your grades, all of that stuff. We didn't have that. And so if you take me back in 1992, who had no idea what I was doing, took the ACT cold with no prep, we didn't have these, you know, fancy ACT schools. Our school didn't teach ACT prep like the schools do today in high school. We didn't have any of that. I just showed up on the day they told me to a pencil, and I took it.
I took no prep.
And so if you take that experience, and again, it's the only experience I've had, but if you take mine back then and you look at someone from, say, a Blue Valley, even back then, they were so much farther ahead because of the resources these schools offered them. I never understood when I showed up at KU why half of the people in my class and friend group already had 12 hours under their belt. Why was that?
Because they had AP courses.
They had courses offered that afforded that to them. We did not. We didn't have any of that. And so there are kids entering into that system then and now. And that's a very slight example between the disparity coming from Topeka and coming from a Shawnee Mission or a Blue Valley or a Lincoln Prep or any of these places. Mm-hmm. Imagine then growing up in a incredibly high crime, poverty stricken neighborhood with one of the lowest performing schools that you can think of in the country. Say you're coming from Detroit. You are coming from a place. The starting line, Scott, is just further back. Am I saying that you can't do it coming from that place? No. But your starting line starts further back than these kids who go to some of these schools and have all of these things laid out before them.
Well, and you're a prime example, Dana. You grew up in opulent wealth, and you literally just had to write your own check and ticket to KU, and you got into KU not because you were smart, but because your parents were rich, right? Dana?
I got very lucky, Scott, and I had a good ACT score.
Your parents were poor.
They did not make a ton of money.
Okay. Let me rephrase. Poor is the wrong word. Your parents and your family, when you were younger, struggled.
Yes.
Is that fair?
That is fair.
Okay. The idea of opulence was not an idea you were familiar with.
Was not.
Okay. How did you make it? You grew up living right next to train tracks.
Because back then, if you lived in the state of Kansas, you were automatically given entrance into a state institution.
You wanted out.
I did. That is true.
And to this day, you have psychoanalyzed me and I have psychoanalyzed you on this show. I have argued, and your parents, by the way, are two of the most genuine, good people that I've ever met. I love Craig and Linda. I love them dearly. But you're not running from them. You're running from what the family experienced when you were younger.
But don't you understand how when you really need to read the book Heartland by Sarah Smart.
I think I will. By the way, she's going to run for the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, good. She needs to run for president. She so eloquently explains what I have felt all of these years just about that experience and the disparity in that experience. And mine was nothing compared to hers. And I would say hers is nothing compared to a child who grows up in the inner city or in poverty or in, you know, high gun violence region of America.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, and we'll get to the calls, we have a full board, to benefit a child or to punish a child based on what their parents are is the epitome of unfairness. It's wrong. And what if you, I mean, can you imagine if your son, let's say Jack, worked his tail off, okay? And I'm not saying he didn't, but let's say Jack never went out with his friends, studied every night. Yeah. I mean, got a perfect score on the SAT, perfect score on the ACT, had basically a full ride to any college he wanted to, but the SAT came back and said, we're going to have to dock Jack because Jack has two parents in the home, his parents make decent money, and he has lived what we consider to be a life of privilege in Leawood. You would be furious. You would say Jack worked his tail off to get into Harvard.
Scott, I don't know that I would be based on my experience when I went in.
And are you not, conversely, on the other side of the scale, if you give a kid more points on their SAT because their parents are or parent is poor or they live in a crime-ridden neighborhood, are you not setting that child up for failure? Getting them extra points to get admitted into a college they otherwise would not be admitted to.
I think you're making this too black and white. I think this is one thing they are going to look at. I don't think it's everything they're looking at.
Okay, all right.
I really don't.
Okay, all right.
You get a perfect score on the SAT. The colleges are going to give you a second look anyway.
All right. Steve in the Northland. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
I got a few things. First of all, what Ben is proposing is just socialism. It's just based on greed. Second, 60% of the scholarships for black kids go unused. So they're already getting more help than they're willing to utilize. And all that results in is a reverse poll tax. You know, anything other than allowing kids to go to school based on merit, it is just unfair. And but why don't we go the other way and say you can't vote unless you can pass an economics, finance, and civics test? Make sure everybody that's voting actually knows what they're talking about and can actually understands all of the issues.
And listen, Steve, we're going to agree to disagree. I would love to have a teacher call in, and I want you to hear this text, Scott. Even your brother. Okay. I would love to have your brother call in.
He will not.
My wife is a teacher, okay?
Okay.
And this isn't all about poverty. It's about resources, okay? Think about it like resources more than poverty. My wife is a teacher. She switched from a small town school district where she taught 17 years to one of the larger metropolitan districts here in Kansas City. The amount of resources and the difference between the two is staggering. The way the larger districts prepare those kids is much better due to the resources they have available to them. And that's just a fact, Scott. That is a fact. I saw it coming out of Topeka. Right. I was furious my freshman year. I did not understand why there was this huge difference in my experience and those sitting right next to me.
I'm going to take one more real quick because he's been online for 20 minutes. Mike, hello.
Hey, how's it going? Love you. Love the show.
God bless you. It's yours. Go ahead.
Well, a few points. Main thing is we all have to admit that academia kind of needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. When we take money, the average, you know, the average spending per year per student in Kansas is about $11,000-some. Missouri, it's $10,000-something. Kansas City, Missouri public school district is over $14,000 per student. So when it comes to like money allocated per student in socioeconomic areas, I mean, there's already a discrepancy there. Two, we have bureaucracy, which, if anyone's gone to any kind of school, we know that there's going to be multiple levels of bureaucracy. My best friend was Thai, and he got perfect SAT and ACT just like his sister. Neither of them were accepted to Harvard or Yale or anything because I don't know why. But and another thing is you know, academia circling the wagons around themselves. The SAT and ACT make money selling tests. So anything they can to hedge to make sure these tests keep getting taken is something in, it's in their favor. If someone, I mean, unless someone doesn't try, you know, they should be accepted to a state university that they're from. If they can't, then they are really prepared for college. I did pretty good in school. I wasn't prepared for college. I got accepted to the University of Minnesota, but I didn't have any money. But I realized later I wouldn't have made it anyway. But so we've got more money going to an inner city, but then we have a hedge saying we need to change the testing, while the whole time, with the internet being ubiquitous in society now, anyone from a library to a phone, even just staying in the basement of their house, can choose to learn if they want to and succeed and get a good score, but they're still stuck in the bureaucracy and the school system that needs to be
Okay, ready. Let me stop you there, Mike. Good call. 576-7798. Let's get to the phones. Bear in Overland Park. Hello, Bear.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, Bear in Roland Park. Hello, Bear.
Hi, Bear.
What's up? Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing
hey,
well.
I kind of like this system because I think these lifelong educators have, you know, understood that education isn't doled out equally all around the country in every scenario, and they're trying to find out the best predictor of success in college. So they figured they're going to try to, you know, compare similar students in similar situations to see how they rank against each other to see, you know, who's going to be, you know, the best, the most successful in college as a predictor. And they're just trying to get us an equal playing field, just kind of like we do in athletics when we divide up sports into 1A, 4A, and 5A, because we know 5A or 6A, you know, your possibility of them having better athletes because of the number of athletes in the school, you might have different competitions. So we divide that up just to see who might play better against each other. I think these educators are just trying to do that because they're dividing up. They're looking at 15 different criteria. So they're just trying to predict, get a good predictor of who's going to be successful in college. The ACT and SAT scores, they saw just that plain score. You're not going to get into school if you get a 600 compared to a 1600 because they think you're not going to do well in college based on that 600 score. They're just looking for other criterion to help make that decision for them.
Well, Bear, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I disagree with you. and politely and with respect, let me challenge your argument. Your 5A, 6A, 4A argument is apples and oranges in comparison. Because if you were going to apple and apple that argument, you would weight schools that had fewer students because fewer students would be able to score well on an ACT. To use the real analogy, I think, that works here is you have a 6A football team, a 5A football team, and a 4A football team. To make everything equal, the Blue Valley North, which has the best quarterback in the entire state, gets transferred to Lansing. And Lansing has to give up its worst player and send it to Blue Valley North.
Well, you're getting confused with my comparison. I'm not saying that.
You're right, because I disagree with it.
Yeah, you're not. I'm not saying the one's better against the other. I'm just saying we compete 6A schools against other 6A schools because we understand a 6A school can pick 12 football players out of 500 students, whereas a 1A school is going to pick 12 football players out of 30. So the probability that you have a better 6A team playing than a 1A team, that's why we don't have 6A teams playing 1A teams. So they're just trying to have a bunch of 6A teams play against each other just to compare each other. So on these 15 different criteria, they're comparing each one of those students against similar students in similar situations to see which ones are the best.
But to make every school equal, we have to transfer players to make the team.
No.
But
they're not making every school equal. That's not what they're doing.
Well, then all right, fine. Then your argument would be, let's say a 6A, here, let me see if this analogy works, and I've got 40 seconds, and we got to go. Sure. Let's say a 6A school did play a 4A school, okay, or a 5A school.
Fine.
To make your analogy work, you would have to give the 5A school 21 points.
It's a golf handicap.
No,
it's a golf handicap.
I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying they just want to say, who's better. If a bunch of 1A schools are playing each other, it's easier to compare those students. When you have two 6A schools playing each other, it's easier to compare those
students. I understand, but Bear, follow me here. We're down to 10 seconds now.
Okay.
If a 6A school plays a 5A school, to use your analogy, we have to give the 5A school extra points.
But they're not doing that. They're just trying to see who's better at succeeding, who has a better chance.
All right. Okay. All right, partner. All right. We're going to have to continue to disagree, Bear. I love you, brother. I love you, but your analogy is not okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.